Hi, this is Cherise Kenyon, and you're listening to, or watching if you're on YouTube, the Beauty Bee podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. If you were listening there, you'll notice I said watching because, yes, this is a video episode as well. If you're an OG listener, you might know that in the past, definitely pre-pandemic, I used to do a lot more video content on YouTube, and I just want to bring it back again. I feel like the Met Gala was a perfect reason for me to bring it back because I'm going to be talking about so many looks. Why wouldn't I want to share them with you? So that's what this episode is about. I have to say this episode nearly didn't happen. I was just so immersed in the Met Gala on the night. I'm here in the UK, so I had two phones, two laptops, looking at different live streams, definitely the Vogue one, of course, which is the best one. I had Threads on one of my phones. I used the other phone to check out my favorite makeup artists and hairstylists to see if they were sharing anything on their Instagrams. And I was just so in it. And so were, I don't know how many people were online when the Met Gala happened, to be honest, but it felt like this, you were part of this thing. And in the moment, you could get so excited about things. And I was sharing imagery and commenting and even on things that the day after, I started to wonder, did I really like that? For instance, Lana Del Rey in the Alexander McQueen, I shared her image. I was gushing. I was just like, slay, blah, blah, blah. And then I looked at the original, well, the Alexander McQueen look that it was kind of inspired by, which I felt like it looked nothing like. And that just broke it all apart for me. I was like, yes, Lana, you look pretty, but no, it's just not hitting it for me. And it's funny because I also kind of backtracked in the opposite direction for looks that I didn't initially like, but after a couple of days of looking at them, I've kind of appreciated them. So I have to say the morning after, I just felt very underwhelmed. And I feel like a lot of people felt underwhelmed with the Met Gala. So I am going to do this episode. I've had, you know, a full night's sleep and it's kind of made me think, well, no, there were some beautiful moments there. And I just want to keep this episode celebratory. I'm going to try not to veer into territory of things I don't like because I might be here all day and we don't have time for that. It's my first video in a while, so you might just not be ready for me when I go really deep. But before I get into it, if you are watching this on YouTube, please hit subscribe so you don't miss another video. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you like to listen, I hope you're already a follower because that way you'll never miss an episode. I think it makes sense to start off with the theme because clearly a lot of celebrities and their stylists did not bother with the theme on Monday night. And then I'm going to share some key trends that I picked up on the red carpet, as well as three of my favorite looks. I'm trying to keep it short for you, short and concise. So I would love to know if these looks are any of your favorites, and definitely let me know, especially if you're on YouTube, feel free to drop a comment about your favorite look. And as always, my DMs are open at Beauty Me Podcast on Instagram, or you can find me on Threads at Cherise_Kenyon. I love to know what other people think, so definitely share your favorites with me. So let's take a look at the theme for the gala. It was The Garden of Time. And The Garden of Time is a short story by J.G. Ballard. He was a novelist that had a very curious, visceral take on life. One of my favorite films, Crash, the 1996 version, is based on one of his books. That's a whole other story. It's very graphic in many ways. But J.G. Ballard was really well known for writing with a sense of futurism, science, and technology. The Garden of Time is a really beautiful story that focuses on Count Axel and his wife. They live this very romantic life. She plays Mozart all day on her harpsichord, and he's often gazing out of his castle, looking at his beautiful garden. And this garden, at one time, it was full of these time flowers. And in the story, at the beginning of the story, we know that these flowers are slowly but surely running out. Each day they pick a flower, and the book kind of mentions how they have these glass stems 6 foot high. They have to kind of snap the flowers off. And the flowers themselves are described as if they're crystal or glass. And they have these delicate stems, and they contain the most powerful light and they have the ability to keep away this angry mob that is making its way towards the Count's castle. Like, he can see them coming miles away, but every time he seems to pluck a flower, he kind of pushes them back a little bit. It's like he's able to slow down time for a little bit. So basically the book, for me, it seems as if it seems to be talking about time and how we are all heading towards death. We are all running out of the most precious commodity, which is time. So with time comes death, decay, aging. Suffice to say, the story ends sadly. We get to the final day, the final flower. His wife picks the final flower. She actually says to him, "Can I pick the final flower?" And it basically just says, like, the world turns black. They're in their garden and suddenly they turn to stone statues. That is a really brief synopsis. I've probably made mistakes, but I think even in that tiny little synopsis of mine, you can find themes of time, decay, death, garden sculptures, diamonds, light, flowers, and life. So it's surprising that so many celebs didn't really seem to pick up on many of those themes, or chose instead to play with the theme of the actual exhibition. And I don't blame them. I think it was a little confusing. The exhibition, which is always held at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, it's a beautiful museum. Its theme was Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. And it was about bringing to life through AI and photography and film these pieces that the museum hadn't shown for years, or some of them had never been seen. How amazing is that? It's definitely about the magic of fashion. So I get that. But I think what happened was, because they gave the gala itself a different theme, the Garden of Time, people weren't sure where to go. And many people got very literal, Sleeping Beauties, princess, you know, very, very pretty things. If you don't know, the Met Gala is an annual fundraising event to support the Costume Institute section of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So every year it needs to make a lot of money to keep the costume section, you know, keep it open and relevant. But also many kind of call the Met Gala the Oscars of fashion because, yes, it's all about being seen. And you'd think that, for me, I thought the Garden of Time, wow, what a magical theme. I'm really going to see some breathtaking moments. And I think I did see some, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this episode. But at the same time, maybe a little clarity in the themes, it would have helped the guests more. I feel like last year, both the exhibition and the gala had the same theme, which was Karl Lagerfeld, A Line of Beauty. So I think that just helped them kind of stick. You know, I feel last year everybody turned up either looking like Karl, or if you're Doja Cat, looking like his cat Choupette. And yes, Doja is going to be in this episode. So I think I've given you a broad take on the theme. Now I want to touch on just three trends that I loved seeing on the red carpet, and then I'm going to share my three favorite moments. So the first trend, dark lips. I feel like makeup is such an easy way to play with this theme, particularly when it comes to the decay part. And dark lips are a really great way to play with that. They give a lot of drama, and darkness is often associated with decay. You know, things turn gray, they get old. Even in the Garden of Time book, the decay is associated with darkness. There's no more light, there's no more time. I really loved the deep burgundy that Charlie XCX wore. It really popped against her simple reworked white t-shirt gown. I actually really love Charlie's dress. It was made from these white t-shirts from the 60s, 70s and 80s, very pieced together, patchworky. And she had this deep burgundy lip that it was just striking. And I feel it's something that she doesn't usually do. Even though she has dark hair, it's not something I've really seen her play with. I think she's someone that goes much more for a graphic eye. So I love that. We also saw supermodel Irina Shayk wearing a gorgeous deep berry lip against, and it just looked stunning because she wore a very silver, very shimmering dress. I guess that the silver shimmer was to do with perhaps the time flowers, that whole glass and light. But either way, the lip really carried that look for her. And of course, we had Zendaya, her first look of the night, that multicolored custom haute couture from Maison Margiela by John Galliano. And she teamed that, I think the dress is like blues and greens and hints of gold and metallic green. She teamed that with these deep berry purple pinky colors all over her eyes, her cheeks, her lips. And the lips were this deep inky berry, super glossy. Her makeup was by one of my favorites, Rahul Alejandre. And a lot of people were just talking about the makeup and saying it was Pat McGrath. And I understand why you'd say that because of the thin eyebrows and the dark lip. But there's also giveaways that would tell you maybe just try and find out who it was, because it just takes a couple of seconds to find out who did what. No, actually, it doesn't take a couple of seconds. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. But yeah, I think it's not always about being first. I feel on social media, a lot of people just want to be first. I would prefer to get it right. But anyway, of course, Zendaya wore another look a little later. She had an all black gown, again, John Galliano, this time from his archive. And her makeup for that kept those pink berry tones, but Rahul kind of really brightened up with this beautiful cerise pink on her lips. It was, I mean, that makeup, I think, was my favorite. But she also worked that dark berry lip. My second trend from the Met Gala red carpet was all about metallic blush / highlight. I really think metallic highlight is coming back. Remember when, I feel like here in the UK, people would often take the mick out of those women that wore highlighter to an almost like robot effect. I think it's coming back. And what I do love is, just like Zendaya had those pinks all over her face, we also saw this pop of pink blush on the amazing Ayo Edebiri. I did not love her Loewe dress, but I absolutely loved her metallic pink Ilia blush. Because of how she was wearing it, it was almost the most perfect circle right underneath her eyes. I think it really drew you to her face. You don't often see kind of like a round blush, but it felt very round. It really looked good on her. And for me, definitely the highlight of her look. And speaking of highlights and metallics, I feel like the person who really made me think metallics are coming back was the one and only Anok Yai. Her makeup artist, Shaker Daily, really, really went all out. And of course, why wouldn't you when you've got that amazing face to work with? Anok wore a blue Swarovski crystal covered catsuit. She just looked like a beautiful alien, maybe an unusual flower in the Garden of Time. I'm not sure. She definitely had the sparkles, but it was all about her makeup. Her hair was by Jawara, and it was this beautiful kind of cropped, kind of a retro shaped flipped out wig. But for me, it was the makeup by Shaker Daily. She just turned Anok into a superhuman, super highlighted. Her face was just very drawn up, angular, and we saw this really high purple pink highlight. And she also had silver right in the corners of her eyes. She had a lot of highlighter on her nose. She was just glowing, full on gleaming. Robot vibes, but in the best way. Third trend is overlining. And yes, before you say, duh, these are not new trends. I never said these were new trends. Overlining has been used by Black women and women of color for decades, especially with a darker lip liner. And the trend has definitely become mainstream over the past couple of years. But the person who made me appreciate it all over again at the Met Gala was Lala Anthony, who was hosting the red carpet for Vogue magazine. She does it so well. First of all, I have to give Lala props for her beautiful Alexander McQueen dress. It looked tight AF at the top. And she even at one point joked that she couldn't breathe, which I just didn't love that because I knew she had to wear it for a few hours. But it was her lipstick that I really fell in love with. She was definitely giving me film noir vibes. It was kind of like an apricot-y nude in the middle. And her outline was almost like a black, I would say. It was a very cool tone, dark brown. Her makeup was by the amazing Raquel. And in a press release from Danessa Myricks, he said, "For this year's Met Gala, we were inspired by the theme Sleeping Beauty Reawakening Fashion. So we decided to do something that was bold and earthy. So we did a glossy earth-toned ombre lip and paired it with a warm-toned cat eye. Now, I know that he used the Nessa Myricks Groundwork palette, but I can't tell you, unfortunately, what he used on the lips. I have asked if anyone can update me on the color, but if I... So if they come back to me, I'll definitely let you know. But take a look at the images of Lala and you'll see it's definitely almost a near black. I really love this lip. Elsewhere on the red carpet, we also saw overlining on Lana Del Rey. I think that's one of her favorite things to do lately. Her makeup was by Etienne Ortega. And we also saw it on Sabrina Carpenter, who is a much paler skin tone, but she still did a cool toned overline. And her makeup was by Catalina Gonzalez. Okay, so that's three trends. Let's look at my favorite three beauty moments from the red carpet. Let's start with what might be my most favorite look from the night. And I feel that this is why it's really important the days after an event to find out why somebody wore something, because it can make you fall in love with the look. I'm talking about Quanah Chasing Horse, the beautiful Native American model and activist. And she blew me away in her stunning periwinkle custom H&M dress. Yes, you heard right, it's H&M. Her dress was partly based on the brand's archives, but also based on the forget-me-not flower, which is the Alaska state flower. Quanah said that she herself had only seen a forget-me-not 5 to 10 times in her life. And she said it was, so, you know, it was a rare sighting. So for me, it definitely took me to the rare time flowers in the story, The Garden of Time. But I will point out here that I actually made a video about Quanah's look because it's just so beautiful. I'll insert a clip here for you if you haven't seen it. And I will share a link in the show notes if you're listening. But when I shared the video, I had several Alaskans in the comments either telling me that Quanah wasn't telling the truth or just saying the flower is super common. And I get it, it's the Alaska state flower. But if Quanah is saying she's only seen them 5 to 10 times in her life, I mean, I'm gonna appreciate that that's her experience. So I've just said in the comments, please talk amongst yourselves. But anyway, back to the really good stuff, which is how her hair and makeup really pulled this look together. On the hair was Paula Peralta, and she braided several sections of Quanah's hair on the left and right sides. And she actually took those braids into an inverted French plait at the back. So that gave her the perfect kind of chunk of hair to position these beautiful handmade hair clips. And they were designed as part of a collaboration between two Indigenous designers, Heather Dixon Designs and Melanie Parsons. And I love that they also made matching earrings and jewelry. They used so many natural elements, from hand-dyed feathers, caribou hair, tanned moose hide. I think one of them said they think this is the first time that a moose has been on the Met Gala red carpet. But it's just the intricacy of these pieces has to be seen. They are so pretty. And I love the fact that Quanah chose to work with two Indigenous designers. And even when it came to the makeup, she worked with two female-owned brand, Live Tinted and Half Magic. And makeup artist Katie Detno, I have to say a huge thank you, because, as I said, I was up at 6 a.m. the morning after the Met Gala. So I was messaging people at 7 a.m. And in New York, that meant it was 2 a.m. for them. Katie Detno sent me voice notes back. And she was like, I'm just about to hit the hay, but yeah, ask me what you want. Not only did she answer my questions, but she also found a way to send me a WeTransfer link to her own behind the scenes video footage, which is what I've shared in my video. And I'm definitely going to share with you here if you're watching on YouTube. I just think she's such a trooper. Katie, thank you so much. And I can't wait to have Katie on the show, by the way. And what Katie told me was that while the dress is always going to be the first inspiration, it was actually the jewelry and the hair pieces designed by Heather Dixon and Melanie Parsons that inspired both Katie and Quanah to really amp up the dress, to really play with color. If you've seen the makeup Katie created, it's full on shimmer. And of course, she used half magic to create that look, including one of my favorite shimmering eyeshadows. The shade is called Laviwinkle. And I could see in the video footage that Katie sent me, Laviwinkle is like a lilac-y blue and it's so shimmery. I wore it the other day just in my lash line and even that gave so much impact. It's so pretty. But I could see from the video that Katie sent me, she also used what I think might be my next half magic purchase. It's called the Glitter Puck. You might have seen it on social media. And it's this really pretty, solid pressed glitter that's a blend of champagne and peach tones. I think it only comes in one colorway, and I can see why, because I think that would suit absolutely everybody. It's so pretty. And Katie also used two shades of Light Trap, which is the brand's duochrome glow powder. She used the shade Spiritually Complex, which looks like a shimmering violet with blue reflects, and Enter the Glow, which is a champagne tone with lilac reflects. Seeing them together, it's just, again, it goes back to that kind of almost metallic highlight, but very smooth, just perfect. This look deserves to be remembered, and I am really grateful that I've had so many DMs and comments about people just being happy that they've seen the look. I've had many Native American women in my comments saying, thank you for sharing. And I've had many people that have no connection to Native American culture or family that are saying, I'm so glad that you shared this because no one else seems to be talking about it. I think I've seen one article on Allure, and that's a huge shame because Quanah looks stunning wherever you're from. So I told you earlier, we're going to talk about Doja Cat, the woman who did the least, you might say, when it came to her outfit, but she still managed to be the most talked about person on the night. So there's obviously a reason. I personally do really like Doja Cat because I don't think she's here for anybody else. I think she's here to enjoy this wild ride that we called life. She has the most amazing stylists and makeup artists working with her. Why wouldn't she play around? Why wouldn't she play around with something so common as a white t-shirt? I don't know about you, but for me, a white t-shirt can look really fresh with denim. It can look really sexy with nothing else. It's for me, a white t-shirt is timeless. I think it's definitely got that kind of American vibe, you know, that classic Levi's and a white tee. People have written songs about white t-shirts, or women in white t-shirts, or men in white t-shirts. It's so mundane. Of course it's beautiful. So when it came to Doja's t-shirt, I would describe it as a floor length white t-shirt. And on her stylist, Brett Allen Nelson's Instagram, he kind of explained, but not to kind of please people. I think he likes to set the tone. He said Doja was turning the Met Gala into the wet gala because, to make matters worse for those who don't like her or understand why she wore a white t-shirt, it appeared to be soaking wet. It wasn't water, though. Water would have evaporated if she'd just worn a wet t-shirt. Apparently it was actually coated with hair gel to give the appearance of kind of sticking to her body. It was a vetement t-shirt / dress. And what I noticed when I watched the footage of her posing on the red carpet the next day was how the way the fabric was sticking to her body, and she would move it around. She would like cover her boobs. She would ruche it up around her butt. For me, she really reminded me of those statues, perhaps wearing togas in a really grand garden somewhere. So I was like, okay, maybe she is alluding to the Garden of Time. Maybe it's not just a basic white t-shirt. And like I said, I don't actually think there's anything wrong with basic. Doja's someone that's been churning out looks. She's literally worn hundreds of thousands of crystals. Does she have to do that every time she makes an appearance? And when people are saying, it's the Met, it's the Met Gala, your look must transcend. Transcend what? We all have different standards, and many of us have the same standards, don't get me wrong. But why not? I feel every time you criticize what somebody else is doing, you're kind of narrowing your playing field. Like, she's just really taking advantage of this moment. In the run-up to the Met Gala, she was wearing a cotton towel on her head. She was wearing cling film around as a skirt and top. I think in the States you call it saran wrap. She's playing, and her stylist, Brett, said that the reason she wore a cotton t-shirt is because she wanted to wear something made from cotton, which happens to be the most used and overused plant in the world. And yeah, people are outraged by it. But Brett's actually replied to quite a few people saying it's not that deep and that fashion should be fun. Whatever your thoughts on Doja's dress, you cannot deny the beauty of her makeup, which was by Pat McGrath. And Pat gave her this look that really centered around these very defined bronze eyes. But beneath the eyes, we see these running mascara tears that in certain lights had a metallic hint to them. I really think Pat must love a good crying session, or how it can ruin your makeup, because even though she makes it very glam, we've definitely seen Pat do tears before. She's done it for the catwalk countless times, specifically 2003 for Christian Dior's Fall Winter Collection, 2009 for John Galliano's Fall Winter Collection, and most recently, Pat gave Rihanna very metallic tears for the cover of the September 2016 issue of W Magazine. When I really think about it, I feel like this Doja look is her saying to her trolls and her critics, oh, you really want to see me cry? I'm going to give you the most beautiful tears you've ever seen. Like, if you're going to reduce me to this, crying in a white t-shirt, I'm going to make it a look. And I think she did. Finally, my third look. I'm saving the best for last. And for me, she's the best because she's the person I was really looking forward to the most making an appearance on the Met Gala red carpet. I am talking about the one and only Taylor Russell. She's just got that look for me. She always delivers a red carpet moment. I should have found out who her stylist is for you. But for me, it's almost like she must have the kind of relationship with her stylist that Zendaya and Laura Roach have, because she just always looks like herself. I feel she's art. I feel she is a modern muse. I think she is also very retro. And I was really happy to be like, I know she's going to be at the Met Gala, because alongside another of my favorites, Greta Lee, she is a spokesperson for Loewe. And Loewe was a sponsor of both the exhibition and the gala this year. So I just knew she was going to be there. So I was so excited. I had no clue what she was going to wear, of course, because, you know, we're not besties. But when she arrived on the red carpet with Greta, first of all, they just looked like they were having a great time. I absolutely loved Greta's pixie mullet haircut. I thought it was amazing. But I'm focusing on Taylor purely because it's her first time. And she laughingly told the reporter that she had said to Loewe designer Jonathan Anderson, I want to be a tree. And he pretty much granted her wish, but he did it using some really innovative technology. So at first sight, it looks like she's wearing a wooden corset, and it was actually a thermoformed corset that was made to look like a carved piece of wood by using a process called hydrosublimation. And it was inspired by marquetry, which is another process that sees lots of layers of thin pieces of wood kind of shaped into a veneer. So rather than being solid wood, it's many layers of wood. And Loewe made a 3D sculpted bodice kind of mimicking that effect, which was then spray painted to create a trompe l'oeil effect that would mimic, you know, wood grain. And I think that there were also flowers on there. If you're not sure what trompe l'oeil is, by the way, it's a French phrase that means to deceive the eye. So it might look like wood, but it's actually just paint. The instant that I saw Taylor's corset, I was taken back to an Alexander McQueen leather corset. It was called number 13, and it was from his spring-summer 1999 show. In that show, we saw Paralympic athlete and double amputee Amy Mullins wearing a pair of the most beautiful, intricate wooden prosthetic legs, as well as the leather corset. That must have been the time we'd seen anyone with prosthetic legs on a high fashion catwalk. It was such a moment, and I just couldn't escape making that connection when I saw Taylor's wood effect bodice. And I really enjoyed making that connection because, again, it's another beautiful Alexander McQueen piece. And of course, we're talking about Loewe, and I feel that they've made it very, very modern and very, very Taylor. When it came to Taylor's glam, she gave us what is really her very classic yet modern take on Chic. Again, I said earlier, I think she's got her own style, and I think that comes down to her hair and makeup as well. On hair, we had Joey George, who created this elegant updo, and on Instagram, we got to see the inspiration for the hair. And once I saw it, it made so much sense because it was all images of Audrey Hepburn, a truly iconic actress, definitely most well known for her role as Holly Golightly in the 1961 film Breakfast at Tiffany's. Again, Audrey, super chic. I think she's the woman that gave us the concept of the little black dress. And she was also someone that managed to wear short hair so well, so beautiful. And on makeup, we had Celia Burton, who, again, thankfully, was someone who was happy to answer a few of my questions the morning after, once she'd had a little bit of sleep. And she shared with me how she created my favorite part of this look. It's all about that fleshy pink lip for me. I just love how juicy her lips look. And Celia created it using the new beauty range from makeup artist Farah Hamidi. She used the smudge and contour pencil in Riche as a liner, and Chanel Allure lipstick in A Demi-Mot, which is a gorgeous kind of peach shade. The combination of them together is so gorgeous. I'm actually sat here thinking, do I want to spend £80 to recreate this lip? Do I need to? Do I not have countless lipsticks and lip liners? Yes, I do. But am I thinking about spending £80? The liner's £38 and the lipstick is £40. So it's actually £78. Am I thinking of spending £78 to get this lip? Yes, I am thinking about it. But also my friend Rachel, who's a makeup artist, has told me, try the NYX or NYX lip liner in Cold Brew. She said it's a really good dupe and apparently they're only £2. So I will let you know if I invest. But I just love this lip. And what I really like is that to complement the lip, Celia gave Taylor this really sultry feline eye. I think we see Taylor wearing a lot of these kind of very drawn out eyeliners. And one thing I really noticed about Taylor, she is not one for having lots of lashes. And I think most of the time it's her natural lashes. And she actually doesn't even really like brush them up to make them look thick. A lot of the time her eyelashes are also brought out to the side to kind of elongate her eye and make the eyes and make them more cat-like. So to kind of replicate the wooden tones of Taylor's dress, Celia used a House Labs high power eye, cheek and lip pigment paint in a cream brown shade. And looking at the shades online, I think it was most likely the color Cocoa Matte. Once she'd got her shape, she set it with Victoria Beckham Beauty Kajal pencil in brown. She then perfected those lines even further using Pat McGrath Labs Skin Fetish Concealer, which I think it's about time I tried that as well. Let me know if you've tried it. It's one of those concealers I'm always hearing people talk about how amazing and creamy it is. Of course, if you know me, you know that I do love Taylor, and I've already made a video about her look. So I'll definitely share a link to that in the show notes on Spotify as well as on YouTube so you can have a look. But you will see in that video that I tried to replicate Taylor's look, especially the eye. And my eyelid space, if you're watching, you'll see it's huge. And we don't have the same eye shape. So I think I should have brought my eye out a lot more. I also went in with black. I started off with brown. Why didn't I stay with brown? I ended up getting my favorite eyeliner, which is Surratt Beauty's Autographique. It is the best eyeliner. If you ever see me wearing eyeliner and you like it, or even if you don't, it's going to be Surratt Beauty Autographique. It's my favorite. So I went in with that. I made it a bit too dark, but I still had fun doing it. And I think that's what makeup, hair, and dare I say it, fashion is about, having fun. So for me, this was a really memorable first met moment for Taylor. I can't wait to see what she does next. That is it from me. I wish I could have covered more looks, but it's been a while since I've recorded a video podcast. And just to be fully transparent with you, I'm literally trying to be like, am I speaking into the microphone clearly enough? Am I looking at the camera enough? Hopefully these will just get better. But either way, I'm really glad that you hung out with me today. I really want to know your favorite look. So pop into the DMs at Beauty Me Podcast on Instagram. Find me on Threads at Charisse_Kenyon. Or if you're here on YouTube, just drop a comment. Let me know who your favorite look was. Let me know if you didn't like any of the ones I've talked about. you know, we can talk about it. And like I said, if you want to see the videos I have created from the Met Gala, I've actually created 4. I just didn't mention everybody in this episode. I'll share the links for you. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do take a second to leave a rating on Spotify or leave a review anywhere you're listening. And if you're watching this episode on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button and do leave a like. That's your way of letting me know if you want me to carry on with this. So subscribe, like, do all that good stuff. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next time.